Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicky and I'm here with Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hello, I'm Matt Stewart.
Hi, Matt. I'm Matt Stewart. Oh, no. What's happening?
There's two Matt Stewart sitcom.
Hang on. I'm also Matt Stewart.
There's three Matt Stewarts.
What, are we in paradise?
Oh, my God. Three Matts.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, three out of three. If we walk out that door, maybe everyone out there is Matt Stewart's as well.
I couldn't handle that at all.
It'd be too good.
Yeah.
Maybe there is such a thing as too much of a good Matt Stewart.
And hello to all our Matt Stewart listeners out there.
Yeah, hello.
Great to be back in the studio for another week. Guys, you good?
Real good.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Well, I was going to ask, so glad you flagged that.
Yeah, great. Good. Thank you for obeying my wishes.
All right, Matt, you good?
I'm good. I cannot wait for this week's question to get us on topic.
So you don't want to talk about it either. Okay.
No, I want to talk about it.
No one's asking
how
I am.
Only once we hear the question.
I do want to talk about it and I'm good. Okay. You would like to get straight into the topic?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
It's a juicy one.
Ooh, okay. Apple.
Oh, not that good. Kind of juicy.
Orange.
Or chicken.
Oh.
Is that juicy?
I don't know. Juice. Okay, it's not that kind of juice. So it's the brand where people used to have juicy written across their backsides on their tracksuit pants.
Oh.
I still think in parts of the world they have that.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Fashion capital of the world, Milan.
Do they have, is that what we're talking about?
Oh yeah, we're talking about Milan.
Woohoo, I got it in one.
Right, do you want a question? And we'll steer you.
Dave,
we'll narrow the parameters slightly.
I just want to pull you up on something. It's actually called Milano.
I'm so sorry.
Culture team right here.
Yeah, you are the culture vultures and I am, well, just the Philistine and I'm not fine.
We call you Yuck Boy.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Bin belonger.
Bin diver.
The one who belongs in the bin.
Bin boy.
I'm changing his nickname in our group chat right now.
So the one that belongs in the bin.
Or bin boy. Bin belonger.
No, I like the boy that belongs in the bin.
Okay.
And I got a hairy chinny chin chin. All right.
Ask the question.
Okay, all right. My question is, for both of you.
Oh.
Which revolutionary and cultural icon was one of time's most important people of the 20th century?
Cher.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
Do you believe in love and love?
Yes.
I didn't before that song, but now I do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anyone at all. What about John Paul Gaultier?
John?
Claude Van Damme.
Do you mean John Paul Gaultier?
Gaultier.
Yeah.
I went to the NGV one time and there was some sort of a thing on. I was trying to be cultured.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of his clothes there.
Yeah.
He was a guy with a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Vanty Damme.
Vanty Damme, yes.
The muscles from Brussels.
Yes.
Jean-Claude Fancy Man. That's right.
Wait,
can you say it again? I don't know if I was really paying attention as much as I could have been.
Okay. Let me repeat. Which revolutionary and cultural icon was one of time's 100 most important people of the 20th century?
Revolutionary and
cultural icon.
Che Guevara.
It is Che Guevara.
The only revolutionary I know.
There you go. He was actually listed under, so basically Time voted for the 100 most influential people of the 20th century. And he was, and they broke him into categories. He was listed under heroes and icons.
They broke him into categories.
Yeah. No.
His balls.
He was straight to balls.
His own category. Che balls, son. Che balls.
Sort of a Che-Lange.
Che-Lange.
But now a Che ball. No, he was listed under heroes and icons, but not leaders and revolutionaries.
I know absolutely nothing about this person.
I've got a book.
Is that bad?
Have you read the book?
Che. And it sits on my shelf, very dusty.
Great, so it's a...
Well, the dust is all the dust of being read.
Did you buy the book or did someone buy it for you?
Won it at a trivia night, which was a fundraiser for someone who worked at the hospital.
Yep.
Were you the individual winner or did your team get that and they said, Matt's going to read this?
I can't remember, but bloody hell, it was a proud moment.
The reason I ask is because I went over to a friend's house last night and on her bookcase, I had given her a little book for Christmas. It's just like a little photography book of dogs. And she had that on her bookcase, but like out in front of all the other books, like it was on display. And I couldn't help but feel that had been pulled out because I was coming over, you know?
Oh, and it was the one you'd given her.
Yeah, the book I gave her was on display, like in front of all the other books. So all the other books are like, you know, stacked up in a line and this one's out on display in front of them.
Your mind is such a sad place. Maybe you just bought a very nice gift and it was appreciated.
Absolutely not, Jess. She has tried to pull one over you.
Yeah. Or she cares so much about you that she wanted you to know that she appreciated the gift.
No.
Either way.
Friendship terminated.
Beautiful. Little example of friendship there.
Well, let me ask you a question, Matt. If the trivia host from that trivia night you won was to come to your house, would you dust off that Che book and put it on display? I think you would.
I'd say, excuse me, who are you?
Why are you in my house?
Familiar? I can't quite place you. I remember that night the Saints lost to the Cats. That was what I was mainly doing, was looking at my phone.
And you still managed to win a book.
Yeah, look, I'm very good at trivia.
You shouldn't have been looking at your phone during trivia. Yeah. What are you, some kind of fucking
animal? Only in the breaks...
Sure, mate, sure.
I'd know how to triv.
Anyway.
To triv is to live.
Speaking of triv, let's learn some now.
This is our second report in a row on a person from the 100 most influential people. Marilyn Monroe is also on the list. There you go.
Who suggested this topic?
Was she higher up?
Well, she was not listed as a leader or revolutionary, but why was not? An icon.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like Che.
Mm. So was she higher up? You sort of answered the question with something that wasn't an answer.
There was no rankings. There was. Albert Einstein was number one. Most influential person in the last century.
He is a slippery character, Dave.
Isn't he?
Cannot get a hold of him. Slipping right through my fingers.
Oh, nearly had him. It's like a little grape.
This bin boy is covered in bin juice. All right.
Oh,
that is juicy.
This topic was suggested. I told you, juice. We've come back to it. suggested by Patrick Zerner from Adelaide.
Patrick Zerner loves to learner, as we always say.
And also just suggested by Michael Gledson.
Michael Gledson. Good on you, Petty Medson.
Go to Bedson.
Petty Medson. Oh, well, what Dave said made some sense in a way, but mine was more esoteric.
Esoteric?
Mm-hmm. No further questions.
Che was born under the name Ernesto Guevara Rosario, Argentina on June the 14th, 1928. So not long after this episode's released, we would be celebrating his 90th birthday.
Wow, cool.
He was the oldest of five children of an upper middle class family.
Five is an okay number of children.
So that's just under the question.
One more and we ask the question.
And it's like, come on. You can't remember all their names at that stage, surely.
Mm.
I can remember five names, easy.
That's the first. What else?
Easy, squeezy, lemon, peasy.
Still got one
banana.
More child. Banana. Great. The odd one out.
Banana Perkins.
One. Which one are you?
It's the doc of the 12 dwarfs.
I don't recognize you, so I'm going to assume you're banana.
You must be banana.
Yes, Mum.
That's right. I'm bananas. That's the party kid.
Banana is a party dude. So Che, or Ernesto's mother, Celia, came from a very well-off family from Buenos Aires. She was a very intelligent She was very intelligent, more intelligent than that sentence leads me to sell you. She was very intelligent, and as an early feminist, she was one of the first women in Argentina to wear trousers, smoke, and drive a car.
Oh, fuck yeah. Celia's great.
What a badass. Chase Father.
I've done two of those things, so I don't know what the big deal is.
You've done the big two.
He's never worn trousers, is what he says.
But you have smoked whilst driving a car.
Sure have. And been the first woman to do so in Argentina. Or whatever country you mentioned.
Yeah, she was only one of the first. You were the first.
Yes.
Ernesto Jr.'s father was also called Ernesto.
Ah.
He too had links to a very wealthy family, including being the grandson of one of South America's richest men. However, somewhere along the way, the family had lost most of their fortune. Ernesto Sr. was 6 years older than Celia. They fell in love and quickly married, and 6 months later, little Ernesto Jr. was born.
Oh, so he was premature, obviously.
Yes, 3 months premature, exactly.
Yeah, wow.
Dating back from the wedding night.
Oh, of course.
They lived a little chuckle to yourself there.
Hey, someone's got to enjoy my company. May as well be me.
As I always say.
I'm going to change my nickname to Lonely Girl.
Thin Boy, Lonely Girl, and the Beardy One.
You guys have really got to get to know me.
We still don't know anything about
you. I don't know, the one with beard and glasses, I guess.
You know as much about you as someone who's just met you. Oh, God.
Matt, you know him. He's always got that beard on his face. Classic Matt.
Matt, maybe you need to let us in.
Yeah. Let Bin Boy in.
Let Lonely Girl near.
No, don't, because then she'll lose what makes her special.
Yeah, yeah, that's my thing.
Well, the Guevaras lived a bohemian life, and Che was raised with leftist leanings. His father often hosted veterans from the Republic side of the Spanish Civil War in their home, and Che developed an affinity for the poor. He was very well read and was interested in poetry from a young age. Che's childhood, however, was marred by chronic asthma that at times was so bad his family thought he might die from it. The family even moved to the mountain town of Alta Gracia, hoping that the mountain air would help the young man's asthma. The plan worked, and he was able to regain his health and was an active student and enjoyed playing rugby and swimming.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Do you mean mountaineer? There was a mountaineer who helped him with his breathing.
Yeah, a lot of mouth-to-mouth. But it worked.
It worked.
You can't argue with results.
You can't. I won't.
And that mountaineer's name was Mr. Ventolin.
A little known fact about Mr. Ventolin is something he went on to invent. Penicillin.
Oh, he...
And Becketide.
He inventolined penicillin.
He inventolined it. Yes, he did.
Incredible.
God, you are good.
That's
I thought that was a. I thought that was a genuine fuck up.
Oh no! And that I saw was that, just a bad pun.
I saw that glint in your eye, and I was like, "Fuck, he is good, isn't he?"
That's actually where the word Inventolin comes from.
Oh.
Dave sang it just then.
Yeah, I just coined it. I'm a coiner. In his late teens, Che went to look after his grandmother in Buenos Aires. After her death, he enrolled in medical school at the University of Buenos Aires, having been inspired to want to help others after his own struggles with asthma.
Hmm.
So he wants to be a doctor.
A noble effort.
Mm.
Yes.
To want to be something good.
I'd love to be something good.
Isn't that? I'd love to want to be something good.
Yeah. That would be good, wouldn't it?
So Che wants to be a doctor, but he also wants to travel and explore the world. So twice he took breaks from medical school to do so. His first trip was in 1950 when he travelled solo through rural Argentina on a bicycle that had a small engine attached.
Oh, he decided that's cheating.
Yeah. Is that a motorbike?
It's like a shit motorbike.
What?
I probably could have just said shit motorbike.
Yeah, we would have known exactly what you meant.
You would have known.
Yeah.
We saw a guy, like a 75-year-old man on a Segway today. My dad, who's just had a hip replacement and is on crutches, was just staring at this guy in awe. He was so excited.
In jealousy.
He's like, look at that. Annie, look at that.
That does sound great. I reckon, and I can't fully explain why, but I remember 10 years ago or something, I was in a car at a traffic light, and across crossing across it was like a hardcore Jewish dude with the full getup, and he would have been about 65 on a Razor scooter, and it was just like I just felt so happy, and I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah, It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like unlikely animal friendships. It's that same sort of like, what?
Right.
It's unexpected, yeah. But it's so glorious.
Yeah.
Totally. I feel
And he looked, there was joy, you know, when, like, I think joy is contagious. He was clearly a happy man.
Yeah, because he was on a razor scooter. Yeah.
The wind was, like, his hair was flowing back under his hat. Yeah, the curls,
Oh, amazing.
And so his beard.
You're getting a great image because he's smiling in my mind.
Yeah, I'm imagining it too.
He had a big grin on. Yeah.
Oh,
flowing sort of garb.
Also, could I please use the company credit card to buy 3 razor scooters?
Approved.
Yes.
2 out of 3. Sorry, Matt.
As if you were going to say no.
No, look.
I'll get you your favourite colours.
I'm very fiscally responsible. Mainly because I like that phrase.
Just trying to have some fun, Dad.
Well, maybe if you behave, we can have some fun.
When have I not behaved? Name a time. Name a time I haven't behaved. Yeah, you can't name one because I always behave.
Yeah.
That time you threw Skittles at the crowd.
They loved it.
Next.
I was sharing. You always told me to share.
Violently.
Violently, enthusiastically, I would argue.
We had to apologize and fill out an incident report for the venue.
Yeah, we all got Skittles.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Skittles.
Anyway, Che decided that the best way to get to know and to understand a country was by visiting hospitals and meeting the patients that they housed. He wasn't interested in tourist sites, but he wanted to see the plight of the people. The next year, he took another break from his studies in 1951, then aged 23, and he went on a 9-month journey that would really shape his view of the world. Che and his friend Alberto Granado, who was studying biochemistry, embarked on a motorcycle journey of South America.
That's a brilliant name.
The motorcycle they were traveling on was called...
South America. It is good, isn't
Beautiful,
it?
Beautiful, isn't it?
The motorbike, though, this time it is a motorbike, not a shit.
Oh. Motorbike.
Thank you, yes.
Well, I say that. It was called La Poderosa, the Powerful.
Ooh. Oh,
that sounds good.
It was anything but, and gave him a lot of trouble early on and eventually broke down completely.
So the two of them on one motorbike?
Yeah, and now they have no motorbike.
Oh, dear.
Sounds like a fun movie.
Yeah.
Buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Without the cop.
But at first they don't get along.
Yeah.
Right?
Because one of them has to get one from one side of South America to the other.
Yep.
But he doesn't want to go.
He doesn't want to go. But then they have to be on one motorbike. Ugh, brother.
Yeah.
And if they don't get by 9 a.m. on May 1st, they both go on a juvenile hall.
Yeah. But then, about halfway through, they start to respect one another.
Yeah, they see that each other's traits are actually quite good.
Yeah, maybe they have a little more in common than they thought.
Mm. The straight man,
mm-hmm.
played by Steve Martin in this case, and the wild man, played by Che Guevara / John Candy.
You're thinking planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, they needed to use other means of transport. That is correct, Matt, because they lost their bike. They mainly hitchhiked. They continued on their journey without a bike. At one point, they introduced themselves as internationally renowned leprosy experts at a local newspaper, which wrote a glowing story about them. The travellers used the press clipping as a way to score meals and other favours with locals along the way.
Sneaky.
Have a look at this little clipping I've got. Before you say no to giving me free food.
I tend to show people my showreel before any kind of interaction. Yeah. To be honest, job interviews, restaurants.
Well, I mean, a job interview is not that inappropriate.
Good point.
Restaurants, I'd argue.
Yeah.
What's the job?
Meeting the parents. Show them a showreel. Yeah, no, the job is as an administrator.
Here's a highlight reel of me meeting my former partner's parents. That's Diane.
She was sassy. We shall catch up for brunch.
Wait, I'm about to say something really funny. It gets me every time.
I did not get along with Jeremy.
That's Mark. He's the one who got away. Oh, God.
I'm stuck with your son.
That's how it goes.
John Candy and Steve Martin
mm-hmm.
also got in trouble. Just trying to make it relatable for Matt here.
Nice.
While stopping in the town of Lautaro to repair the motorcycle after an accident, they were invited to a dance.
Oh, what's that? Doesn't sound like trouble at all.
The evening ended badly.
Oh, dear. They couldn't do the shuffle?
Couldn't do the dance.
After
couldn't do the Cincinnati sit and squeal.
They could not. And also Guevara tried to seduce a married woman.
Oh.
The two men were chased out of town by an angry mob.
Wow. That... that feels like that never really happens in real life.
I'm just giving a montage. Chase learning and growing.
It feels like a story that they would have laughed about later.
Yes.
Not funny at the time.
No, certainly not. But not Steve Martin would not have been happy. No.
But later, oh boy, would they have laughed about that one. Hands around each other, clutching their stomachs, laughing so hard. You know?
I know.
Like we used to do.
Cue montage.
Slow motion montage of the three of us laughing.
Yep, that's good one. Shop.
Yeah. That's going in.
That's Diane. All in all, the pair travelled over 8,000 kilometres through many South American countries. But it wasn't all just fun montage.
Oh.
Che was shocked by the poverty that he encountered. He was appalled at the conditions of miners working in a Chilean mine, and meeting a homeless communist couple left an impression on him, where they didn't even have a blanket to share between them.
Oh.
In Peru, the two men went to see Hugo Pesce, a leading leprosy researcher and a Marxist, who engaged Che with political discussions that he later acknowledged as formative on his outlook. The travelling pair spent a few weeks volunteering at a leper colony on the Amazon, and on his 24th birthday, with the doctors and nurses as his audience, Guevara gave his first political speech advocating for a unified Latin America.
Any of you remember what you were doing on your 24th birthday?
I was at the Belgian Beer Garden on St. Kilda Road. I don't think it's there anymore.
No, it's not. But it was great day.
Cut my foot, was wearing thongs, cut my foot, bled a lot.
Okay, so not making political speeches is what it's getting at there. Right?
Well, no, I used that as an analogy.
Mm,
my foot is like the working people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sick and tired of this shard of glass, i.e.
the man.
Big business. Cutting into our livelihoods. Back to my foot again.
Wow.
My foot's versatile.
Are you lecturing the ambulance people that are looking after you?
Yes, I've lost a lot of blood.
And drunk many litres of beer.
Yeah, my blood was very thin. It really, there's a photo somewhere and it's a lot of blood.
I've lost 3 litres of blood, but I've gained 5 litres of beer. So I should be fine, right, officer? Che documented his thoughts and experiences with a daily diary that would later be published in 1995 as a book called The Motorcycle Diaries.
So many successful and influential people have kept diaries.
I did for a period of 2 years, and I wish I'd kept it up.
Yeah.
Because now you can go back and you can ask me, what was I doing on February 11th, 2011? I can tell you exactly.
Well, I'm not going to keep it like every day because I do a lot of boring shit too. Some days I just like go to work and go home.
It is a good habit because what if you do become the superstar that we all know you will, Jess Perkins, and one day they'll be like, can you write that tell-all book? And they'll ask you what you were doing.
Yeah. On February
11th. 2011.
So in case you write a book one day, Jess, waste your time writing in a diary. Come on, Dave. Is that what you're suggesting? Just keep a calendar. You got a Google Calendar.
I've got a Google Calendar. You changed my life with that Google Calendar. I used to be a strict color-coordinated diary kind of girl. Now I'm a strict color-coordinated Google Calendar kind of gal. I can access that anywhere.
Yes. In the cloud, Dave. Think about it.
So good.
Still yet to fully transition to the cloud. The Motorcycle Diaries was also made into a film. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. No, it was actually made into a film.
Mm.
Che traveled alone to Miami. This is still on the journey. Before flying home to his family, now a changed man. He formed the view that the only way for the masses to restore equality and break free from their oppression, that in many cases still stemmed from colonialism, was through armed revolution. He wrote this in his diary. I will be on the side of the people. I will take to the barricades and the trenches, screaming as one possessed, will stain my weapons with blood and, mad with rage, will cut the throat of any vanquished foe I encounter.
Jeez.
Bloody hell.
So this journey has really changed him.
That sounds like, you know, like old school Roman stuff or something.
Yeah.
I've just been listening to a podcast about Romans.
All right.
So basically, the cutting the throats of the vanquished, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Vivid. Vivid imagery.
Mm.
Mm.
He completed his medical studies in 1953 and then hit the road again, traveling through Central America, eventually settling for a time in Guatemala, where President Jacobo Arbenz was in charge of a progressive regime that was attempting to bring about a social revolution. President Arbenz was trying to implement radical land reforms and give land back to the poorer people that lived in his country. It was at this time that Guevara got the nickname Che.
What does Che mean?
Well, in Argentina, where Che is from, as well as a couple of other Latin American countries. Che is used as colloquial slang and can take the form of friend, a bit like mate or bro.
Right.
Oh, great.
But it can also, this is where it gets complicated, it can also be used in place of hey or at the end of this sentence, like in Canada when they say hey.
Or New Zealand.
Che at the end. It could be like mate or you can just slip it in. And Guevara used the phrase a lot. And because this really stood out in Guatemala, friends started to call him Che, and it stuck.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that a cool nickname story?
A cool nickname story.
And it's Che, not Shay, obviously. So I think I've always said Che. Che. Che is more fun.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, Che.
Guevara is popularly known, how about have a crack at this, simply as El Che, the Che, in many Latin American countries. I think it's they don't just call him Che because they use that for a word.
So yeah. Che's like bro or mate. So it'd be like calling you Bro Warnicky, which is fun.
Mate Warnicky.
Yeah.
Matey Perkins. Mate Perkins. Mate Perkins? Mate Stewart.
Mate Stewart.
That's
Stewart.
Efficient. I only that need to change good. One letter.
Sometimes when I type your name, it comes out as mate, and I'm like, well, they're both good.
It's all true.
Yeah. I say thanks, Matt, or thanks, mate, and it's still...
Can't go wrong.
You still get it.
I still get it.
Yeah.
This guy gets it. Me.
I'm this guy.
It was also in Guatemala that Che met Hilda Gadia Acosta, a Peruvian woman who would go on to become his first wife.
Not sure.
We've got an Acosta listener, Miguel Acosta, I think.
It's a good name.
It's a great name.
Better than Hilda.
Hilda. Hilda's a strong name.
Is it?
I think they mainly call, she's actually mainly referred to as Gadia.
Mm.
All of these are great.
Hmm.
She was an economist who was well-connected politically as a member of the left-leaning American Popular Revolutionary Alliance.
Putting popular in your name is real smart politically.
It is.
People
try and argue with that.
No, we're popular. No, you know, we don't like him.
Mm.
Look at the name.
Yeah, it's in the name, mate.
Just vote for us. You know you want to.
We're popular. Don't you want to vote how everyone else votes?
Yeah. We'll win either way. We're popular.
The Guatemalan leader, Arbenz, who I was talking about before, trying to implement these land reforms, was overthrown in a coup supported by the CIA.
A coup d'etat?
A two-day coup d'etat.
Mm.
Mm.
The CIA actually is fucking around a lot in Central and South America in this time in history.
Mm.
Sort of choosing which leaders to back and who they don't want to, you know, choosing regimes and stuff. It's all a bit dodgy. And Che began to think that the US would always oppose any left-wing government. This became the cornerstone of his plans to bring about socialism by means of a worldwide revolution. It was in Guatemala that Guevara became a dedicated Marxist. So there's all this stuff that's happening in his life, and he's sort of going more and more left, becoming more and more radicalized with all the...
Like?
Oh, yeah.
Shakers?
Shakalakan.
Please stop trying to make that happen.
Because you said radical wrong.
You said it like radical.
Yeah. What a square. You're such a square peg, Dave. Trying to fit into my round hole.
Ooh, I'm going nowhere near your round hole.
Yeah, it's because you're a square peg. Figure it out.
Looking for a square hole.
He does not get it.
Tweet me, at Dave Warnicky, if you have a square hole.
Oh, dear.
Don't tweet him, please.
Che left Guatemala and headed to Mexico, where he met and became close friends with Raul Castro.
Yes, good name.
Who had been, it's
Raul,
a great name.
Raul.
Who had been closely involved in the 1953 rebellion in Cuba.
Uh-huh.
So now I have to give you a bit of background here as to what was happening in Cuba at the time, because it's a very important part of the story.
Oh, Dave.
Just a little recap, Jess.
Oh,
get on board.
I don't get geography.
Can you do it in a montage?
Yes. Cue music. Dun, 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 dun. Music from the old El Paso had probably offensive. Okay. Cuba had become independent from the US. You know where Cuba is?
Sure.
It's a large island, largest island in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Central America?
That's right, just south of Florida.
And the Florida Keys.
Yeah, I've seen McHale's Navy, the
There's
remake
a place
with Tom
called
Arnold.
Cuba.
Thanks for that reference that we all go to. So basically,
pretty sure that's set in Cuba, at least partly.
Cuba had become independent from the US in 1902, and after that followed many decades of instability, rocked by revolts and coups. Coup d'etat. And also many d'etats.
Mm.
A man named Fulgencio Batista.
Yes.
That's a good name, Fulgencio Batista. Yes. Had served earlier as Cuban president in the 1940s, and in 1952 he became president for a second time through a military coup. Although respected in his first term as El Presidente, he cancelled the 1952 elections and began to rule as a dictator. Cuba had high unemployment for locals, and Batista formed deals with American companies that began to dominate and exploit the Cuban economy. Most of the highly profitable sugar industry was in US hands, and foreigners owned 70% of the country's arable land.
Shit.
Arable land. Batista also turned...
You're thinking of areolas. Yeah. Which I forget what they are. Are they the nipple bits?
Yeah, the round bit.
Yeah.
Batista also teamed up with the American mafia who ran casinos and the illicit drug trade. So the US government armed and politically supported this Batista dictatorship because it was good for the US economy. So pretty much him and the political elites are living the high life, but stuff for Cubans, the general population, is not good. Not good.
Mm.
So Fidel Castro was a young, outspoken Cuban lawyer in the 1950s. He tried to challenge Batista through the courts, but got nowhere because the dictator just sort of got away with everything. And he came to the conclusion, this is Fidel, that revolution was the Cuban people's only answer. So Fidel and his brother, Raul, tried to rebel with a group called the Movement, but they were decisively crushed by Batista, and both Castro brothers were imprisoned. At his trial, Fidel Castro gave a four-hour patriotic speech in his defense that has since gone on to be quite famous. He ended with the words, "Condemn me, it does not matter. History will absolve me." He's a real good speaker.
A real good speaker.
Oh, yeah.
He's real good, but...
He's real good. He was sentenced to 15 years jail for the revolution, so his speaking didn't do that well. But under political pressure, Batista had to free him in 1955, which, looking back, is a bad choice for Batista because Fidel and Raul Castro fled Cuba for Mexico, where they met Che and were able to regroup and rekindle their dreams of revolution.
Mm.
So that's the background here.
Is this what the Tracy Chapman song is about?
Baby, get a fast car. Drive away and we'll drive you far. Baby, get a fast car.
Is that the song you mean?
Sure.
What was the Tracy Chapman song you meant?
If you want reason to stay here, and I'll turn them back around.
Singing about talking about revolution. But okay. So every time you said revolution, it's in my head. Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper.
During a long conversation with Fidel on the first night of their meeting, Guevara concluded that the Cubans' cause was the one for which he had been searching. And before daybreak, he had signed up as a member of the July 26 movement, which is what they were calling themselves, named after an attack on Santiago de Cuba army barracks on July 26, 1953.
Santiago, whale's vagina.
Guevara was recruited as the group's medic, although he did take part in military training, in particular, guerrilla warfare. The movement knew that they would be outnumbered, so they were trained in hitting the enemy and then retreating into the wilderness. Despite essentially signing up to just be the group's doctor, Guevara was actually considered by their instructor, General Bayo, as his prize student and the best guerrilla of them all.
Oh, that's cool.
I love guerrillas.
So he was badass.
Guerrillas. I love them. Just to rephrase the thing I said.
Okay.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get Short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have. From vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
Guevara married Guardia, or whatever I was calling her before, in Mexico in September 1955, before embarking on his plan to assist in the liberation of Cuba. It's time for a revolution!
Yes!
Yes!
Fidel Castro led a team of 82 men, including Guevara, from Mexico back to Cuba. The men traveled aboard the Grandma, an old, leaky... It sounds like Grandma, I know. It's like Grandma without the D. And
you said the same word twice. Grandma. I know it sounds like Grandma.
Grandma.
Oh, sorry.
Well, it basically is. It's an old leaky cabin cruiser. The boat was...
It basically is a grandma. Looks old and leaky.
I don't want to speak for your grandma.
Very accommodating.
Makes great cookies.
And sends me $100 for my birthday.
What?
You get $100?
No. Look, I just pulled a figure out of the air. Really, it's in thousands.
he's trying to think of the smallest amount that someone might get in an envelope.
I wanted to sound relatable to Matt, the working class man.
You've got
to
divide it a little more than that. Okay. I was pretty happy to say, if you got a $5 in an envelope.
Oh, my God. But when you grow up, $5.
That was a different time.
700 shillings.
Yes. I was converting it to the modern speak. It was, threepence.
Grandma sent us a threepence.
Wow. And then what would you do with your threepence?
Oh, I'd buy a bag of pigeon feed, go down to the square, sing a song.
Why are you singing a song?
I don't know.
What a childhood.
It was a very musical time.
Is this your 24th birthday again? Yeah. Cut your foot on a pigeon?
Oh, times are tough until our nanny came along and she really brought music and wonder into our lives.
Threepence a bag. Okay, I get it.
Oh, I love it. So the boat, so the grandma.
The grandma.
And I've seen this. By the way, I was inspired to do this story after I went to Cuba earlier in the year. And I let the Patreon people
brag.
Vote. On two possible people that I learnt about in Cuba, and they picked Che. But I'm going to, for the Patreon people, I will do the other person at a later date.
Not if I get to it first. Aha!
Well, I mean, they'll still be happy because they get to hear you talk about it, so it's fine.
Aha!
We're all winners here! But the grandma, which I've seen the boat in Havana, it is a leaky old cabin cruiser, and not the thing, you don't look at it and go, yeah, that's a revolutionary boat. The boat was extremely overloaded and barely reached the shore because it had 82 people on board. They landed in the Cuban province of Oriente on December 2nd, 1956, but were immediately detected by Batista's men, and the revolutionaries were almost instantly wiped out.
Whoa!
Many were killed in the fight or executed upon surrender or capture.
Whoa!
During this initial bloody confrontation, Guevara laid down his medical supplies and picked up a box of ammunition dropped by a fleeing comrade. And with this, he had fully transitioned from medic to soldier.
God, that's cool.
Very symbolic moment.
Mm.
Only 22 of the original 82 were able to find each other again, and they fled into the mountains.
Wow.
So they got fucked up. Che survived, as did both the Castro brothers, and once established in the mountains, the small band prepared for an extended guerrilla campaign. So there's only 22 people left, but they're not giving up.
Out of 82.
And they still think they can overthrow a government with 22 people.
That's amazing. That's smaller than, like, your average primary school classroom. You know? That's at least 30 little tuckers.
Imagine my grade 3 class trying to take on the Cuban government.
Oh, no way.
Especially when two of the three classes got blown up.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Sounds like my childhood all over again.
Oh, man.
We turned back.
Okay, Guevara quickly proved himself to Castro and became one of his most trusted allies. His intelligence, determination, dedication, and toughness made him extremely valuable to the cause, and he was quickly promoted through the revolutionary ranks.
I mean, you kind of make up your own ranks, don't you?
I mean, and also there's only 22.
22. All of a sudden, yeah. You don't want to be the lowest rank. You feel like a real loser.
I'm 21st in charge. Miguel, clean the fucking toilet.
Yeah. Yeah, but I...
Oh. You get to boss around one dude.
Yeah.
Guevara was put in charge of a unit and insisted... A unit, again, probably like six dudes. Insisted on discipline and the importance of the communist cause. He was also instrumental in teaching new recruits. So they were getting new people coming and joining them because a lot of people hated the government.
Right.
Mm. So people were joining them. He taught them guerrilla tactics. He also established health clinics, a newspaper to disseminate information, and rebel radio, which broadcast news to the Cuban people with statements from the 26th of July movement. So that's how they recruited people. They would talk about how Batista is fucking you royal, you should come and join us, and people were doing that. He was promoted to commander of a second army column, effectively now second in command.
Mm.
It was as second in command that he began to show his ruthless side. As a disciplinarian, he was very harsh and sometimes had defectors shot. He was personally responsible for a number of summary executions of people accused of being either spies or defectors.
How do you picture a summary execution? I think like Bahamas, mm. Banana Lounge, poisoned mojito.
What a way to go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What a way to go. The first person he personally executed was Utimio Guerra, who was not shot with a mojito.
Oh.
Guerra was
what
an
way to go.
A pina colada then.
Yeah, what do you got?
My second favourite choice.
I know you love a pina colada.
Oh, gosh.
You're such pineapple
and
milk,
such
right?
A basic bitch.
No, it's white rum and pineapple, yeah. I'm such a basic. I love them.
That's okay. You're allowed.
Love them. I'm not ashamed. I'll proudly order one at a bar if I can afford it. Yeah. If grandma sent me $200 that year. So Guerra was an army guard who admitted to giving away the rebels' position in exchange for money, so he was a traitor. After his admission, Guerra asked that they, quote, end his life quickly, so Che stepped forward and just shot him in the head.
Whoa.
Che wrote this in his diary, still keeping a diary. The situation was uncomfortable for the people and for Utimio, so I ended the problem, giving him a shot with a .32 pistol in the right side of the brain with exit orifice in the right temporal lobe.
God, he's very detailed, isn't he?
And also, that's a very cold way of writing about how you murdered someone.
Yeah.
In a way, I kind of prefer Carl McCann's diary, where it's like, something terrible happened, but I don't want to talk about it. That I almost prefer that. Che is a little too clinical.
Do you think Carl had just killed a moose?
Yeah, probably.
It does show a side of him. He's very... committed to the cause, but
also like
ruthlessly, brutally so.
Yeah.
Like, doctors talk about the human body as if it's not a human, right? That's just part of what he would have done as a doctor.
Very, quite clinical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the situation was uncomfortable and I ended the problem giving him a shot in the head. That's pretty...
But he, ending the problem, I'm going to stop defending
him. Meaning him being alive.
That's yeah, I thought, but didn't you say he asked him to do it quickly?
Basically, I think he knew he was going to be executed because
because that feels like that's rather than going, all right, tomorrow you're going to be executed standing over there and having to have that whole last night.
Yeah, but
hopefully a situation we never find ourselves in, being traitors to a band of
revolutionary
communists.
So Che was feared by his troops, but also deeply respected. He would take time to educate them and would entertain them with readings of poetry. So I just shot a man and here's some poetry.
That's fun.
I just shot a man. Here's a picture of a fruit flan. That kind of poetry. Yeah. You know, he just riffed it.
Topical.
Yeah, real topical. He was happening. He wasn't even holding a fruit flan. It was actually a cheesecake. So that just showed you how creative he could be.
Improv.
Mm-hmm.
Improv. He's got it. He's got the gift of the gab.
Yeah.
He never blocks.
Never blocks.
But he does execute people. Thomas Elba, who fought under Guevara's command, later stated that Che was loved in spite of being stern and demanding. We would have given our life for him.
Aww.
And many of them did. The guerrillas constantly battled with Batista's army, and by 1958, the dictator had had enough and ordered his army to wipe out Castro's forces for good. He sent a large part of his army into the jungle to combat the smaller guerrilla force. But this proved to be a disastrous military error, as the rebels, having hidden out in the mountain for over 2 years, knew the terrain far better than the army and were able to easily defeat them.
Jeez.
At this point, many of Batista's men deserted him and joined Castro's now growing army. So it was a real error.
What should he have done?
Probably held back and waited for them to try and face him.
Just let him slowly grow.
I suppose.
He probably should have bombed them from above.
Now you're talking like a military bastard.
With love.
Yeah, flyers. Hey, guys, we can work this out.
Maybe he could have changed his ways and made the people love him and sort of snuffed them out that way. Just being a good leader.
Imagine.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that was his first problem, was being a piece of shit leader. Guevara's unit was tasked with taking the strategically placed city of Santa Clara, which he was able to do so despite having only 300 troops and facing over 2,000.
Wow.
Many in the Cuban army did not do much to stop Che. They basically, a lot of them just sort of...
rolled over.
Yeah, rolled over. Again, because they don't respect their leader. On New Year's Day 1959, Guevara took the city and Batista, who's the dictator, immediately fled the island with an amassed personal fortune, and he went to the Dominican Republic.
Oh.
So there you go. It had taken 2 years, but the revolution that had started with just 82 people, that was knocked down to just 22 people, had actually been successful.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. After Castro's victorious troops entered Havana, the main city, on January 8, 1959, Guevara served for several months at La Cabana prison, where he was tasked with rounding up officials from the Batista regime.
Oh.
So finding the old enemies. He was instrumental in organizing several hundred trials for these officials, of which the majority resulted in a guilty verdict, and the men in question were executed.
Oh, wow.
It is estimated that between 156 and 550 people were executed on Guevara's extrajudicial orders during this time.
That's a huge range.
I know. There's a
not
big
great
range.
Diary keeper now.
It's not like between 55 and 60. And you're like, yeah, fair enough. That's a huge range.
I think people who don't like him say it's 550. People who do like him say it's only 156.
Right.
So kind of, and they battle it out.
Do we know what happened to the barista?
He eventually was accepted by the Portuguese dictator and lived out his days in Portugal.
Wow. So
he got away with it.
Got away with it.
Back to this story, the global community was appalled at this brutality of these often, they were basically show trials. It's not like they went to court for 18 months. A lot of them had a court hearing in front of about five people for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like, nah, you're guilty, out the back, shot.
No, I'm not. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
What?
How do you plead? Not guilty. Nah, you are.
Yeah. Come out the back. No reason. Come on.
So Guevara was copying it internationally, but his unwavering belief in the rightness of the communist revolution left him unmoved. It should be noted that these harsh punishments were widely supported by the Cuban public, who the Batista regime had suppressed, tortured and murdered for many years. But does that ever justify execution without a proper trial?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
So Guevara is a hero to many people, and as you'll continue to hear, but to others, he is a villain.
Okay, great. Because at the start of this, all that I knew the name, but that's about it. I actually really didn't know anything. And I was going to ask, is he a goodie or a baddie? Because I feel like in some films or whatever, anytime I've heard him mentioned, he's either like portrayed as a villain or as like a real hero. And I was like, I don't know what we're about to discuss.
I remember, did you come up across this at uni? They used to talk about it all the time. One man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, and vice versa. Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate here.
Yeah, wow. Okay, cool.
So I'll continue on, and maybe at the end you can say, and I imagine that at the end you'll be
still unsure.
Still confused.
Yeah, because people are complex.
Yeah, and he's very complex.
Yeah.
That's one of the most famous people of the last century. He's very complex.
Yeah.
Guevara became a Cuban citizen and served as Ministry of Industry as well as President of the National Bank of Cuba.
Oh.
It's because Fidel really trusted him, so he gave him these positions of power, where Che famously demonstrated his disdain for capitalism by signing currency simply Che.
Oh, fuck, he's cool.
You don't really like money.
Decision made. He's a rock star.
He is a rock star revolutionary.
Yeah.
He's like, there was a fashion for a little while.
Yeah.
Probably not that long ago, t-shirts with his face on it, right?
Yes.
Just
Che.
Che.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder what brought that about.
I don't know.
Guevara did a number of positive things during his time as Cuban leader. He established universal education. And still, when I went to Cuba, they told me that school is free, university is free, so you can become a dentist and they'll pay for all your... The government will pay for everything.
That's great.
Healthcare, free. So Guevara established universal education and is credited with helping to raise Cuban's literacy rate from as low as just 60% up to 96%.
Holy shit.
Some of the highest in the world.
That's a big jump.
Yeah. He also introduced land reforms and limited the size of all farms to 1,000 acres or 400 hectares. Any holdings over these limits were expropriated by the government and either redistributed to peasants in 67-acre parcels or held as state-run communes.
Why 67-acre parcels?
270,000 square metres.
Thank you.
The law also stipulated that sugar plantations could no longer be owned by foreigners. So he's reclaiming a lot of the land.
Wow. Yeah, sugar, because that was owned by... It was 70% of the land, yeah.
70%.
Was owned by foreigners. So that's huge.
And sugar is big money in Cuba.
Yeah.
He talked the talk, but it should also be noted that unlike many revolutionaries, he walked the walk. If you compare him to Fidel Castro, who once in power set up home and office in the penthouse of the Havana Hilton. Che, on the other hand, slept in his office often, and in support of the volunteer labor program that he organized, he spent his day off working in a sugarcane field.
Right. Okay.
Because a lot of people, once they get the power, they just do anything to cling on to that power, and that's when, you know, all those African dictators I was talking about before, a lot of the time they start out as pretty good dudes and then they become crazy evil billionaires.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, not Che. Guevara also became the face of Cuba, traveling around the world and meeting leaders from 14 countries in Asia and in North Africa. He later also traveled to the US, China, Russia, North Korea, and Ireland. He had Irish roots.
Oh.
Long-lost Irish roots.
I think what must happen is people just get, at first, they think they're doing the right thing. They've set something up, but they are afraid to give away, to share it with others. You know, the responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
So they get protective. This is what I'd be guessing. And then they go, no, I don't trust you with the money. I'll handle all that. And then eventually they just, you know, lose their mind and...
Yeah.
So you reckon it's something like that?
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. What point weird are you driving around like in a fleet of Bentleys and you're like, yeah, I'm still a revolutionary.
Yeah, it does seem weird to me. Like, how do you reconcile that in your own mind? It feels weird. Like, if I've said to anyone that I'm doing something, I feel awful if I back out of it, let alone going, hey, we're all in this together. We're all equal now. And then going, I never said that.
Yeah,
no. I mean, we are all equal. I'm just like a higher level of equal.
Yeah.
I've just got 13 Bentleys.
What?
Nothing wrong with that.
It's important for us together that I have many, many Bentleys.
No big deal.
It's also important that in the Constitution it says that I have a direct line with God and whatever I say goes.
Okay.
Because I'm the only one who can be trusted for us to all be equal.
But we're equal.
Very bad. Guevara was instrumental in shifting the country's trade relations from the United States, who are obviously very close geographically, to the Soviet Union, who were also communists at the time. A result of this shift was the Soviet Union installing nuclear missiles on the island of Cuba, only 100 miles from the US mainland. This led to the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was a 13-day standoff between the US and the Soviets, and is hopefully the closest we'll ever come to an all-in nuclear world war. But I'd like to save that mammoth topic for a future report.
I was going to say, I know that phrase, the Cuban Missile Crisis, but I don't know.
I now know
100% more than I did two minutes ago.
So Che had a lot to do with that. Right. He basically invited the missiles onto Cuba. Basically, in a really quick summary, America found out that Russia had nuclear missiles 100 miles away from them and freaked the fuck out.
Yes.
As you would. But we'll talk about that another time because it's really... massive subject. Che grew increasingly disheartened, however, as Cuba became a sort of client state of the Soviet Union. Increasingly disillusioned with the direction of the Cuban social experiment and its reliance on the Soviets, Guevara began focusing his attention on fostering revolution elsewhere in the world. By this point, he'd realized that government work, even at a very high influential level, was not right for him. He was a natural revolutionary and wanted to dedicate his life to freeing other countries. So, after April 1965, he dropped out of public life. His movements and whereabouts for the next 2 years remained secret.
Oh.
Many speculated that he'd fallen out with Castro and possibly even been killed.
Right.
So the world was, for a couple of years, wondering where he was. It was later learned that he had travelled to what is now the Democratic Republic of the Congo in Africa with other Cuban guerrilla fighters. He spent 9 months there but was unable to achieve anything. During this period, Guevara resigned his ministerial position in the Cuban government and renounced his Cuban citizenship. After the failure of his efforts in the Congo, he fled first to Tanzania and then to a safe house in a village near Prague, where he spent a lot of his time writing books.
Wow.
He's a fascinating man.
Yeah.
Where's his wife?
By this point, he's on to his second wife.
Right.
And he does manage to have five children himself.
All by himself.
They are separated a lot.
Bloody hell, this guy. What can't he do?
He's pretty amazing.
Did he ever write that down in his diary, how he managed to have kids by himself? Because yeah, that would probably answer a lot of our questions.
Oh, God.
We could finally get rid of men. Bye, boys.
Wait.
Hang on. I think we get rid of women.
No.
Chase just gone solo.
Okay, where are you going to grow it? Hmm? Hmm? That's what I thought.
In Shay.
Yeah.
In Shay we grow.
Yeah. Mm. I've always said that.
You have always said that. I've never understood it until now. Yeah.
Finally, makes sense. God. So many episodes later.
Yeah, I've asked you and you just said, one day. And that's today.
The prophecy.
The prophecy?
The prophecy is true. Oh, boy.
Do you want me to save you here?
Yes.
In the autumn of 1966, Guevara went to Bolivia incognito. He was beardless and bald.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
He went there to create and lead a guerrilla group in the region of Santa Cruz. After some initial combat successes.
I'm imagining.
You're trying to look at Matt.
Yeah.
Just holding up her hands to cover up Matt beardless and bald. I reckon you could go incognito, beardless and bald.
Yeah, I wouldn't recognize
especially
you.
Especially in Bolivia, where you are massive.
I wouldn't want to be seen with you.
Brutal.
Yuck.
So that's all I have to do.
What if I was beardless and bald?
Yeah, you're on your way.
Yeah, balding. So he's in Santa Cruz. He's hanging out with another guerrilla group. And after some initial combat success, Guevara and his guerrilla band found themselves constantly on the run from the Bolivian.
Guerrilla band?
They were traveling like folk band.
Yeah. They got a double bass.
It's very hard to run from the Bolivian army when you've got a double bass on your back.
That's what they were really missing. Fidel Castro, he was a key. The key member.
How much do you hate yourself for that?
So much.
That's very good.
Fidel Castro.
And a one, and a two, and a dun, dun, dun. So they're on the run from the Bolivian army. The group was almost annihilated by a special...
Do you Bolivian?
Oh, we're losing control of this.
Ask me how much I hate myself.
Do you hear
how
Matt's...
much you hate yourself?
So much.
Do you hear Matt's pun and you're like, I can do that but worse. Just give me a crack. You wouldn't Bolivian. You wouldn't Bolivian.
You know what? Hearing it back, it's very good.
It's good. It's good, Matt. Come on, it's good.
That is good. I'm not denying that.
They were almost annihilated by a special detachment of the Bolivian army, again aided by CIA advisors.
Oh.
So the US government do not like Che. By the time the soldiers began to close in on Guevara and his men, only 20 or so remained and were running out of essential food and supplies. On October 7th, Guevara stopped in a ravine to recuperate, and peasants living in the area informed the Bolivian army that Che was there.
Oh.
Sold him out.
What a pack of dogs. Wild dogs, a lot of them.
You're all dogs.
What was in it for the peasants? They were just believers in... Oh, I did not mean that. Believers.
I think they might have... might think that, hey, we're not with them, don't burn our village down, right, that kind of thing. 1,800 troops closed in.
Well, that's excessive.
So they really think a lot of Guevara. And
they're Bolivian in him.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you. You're laughing every time. You're laughing.
It's getting better every time. That's
exactly.
Why.
So they, 1,800 troops closed in, and Guevara sustained a wound to his leg and several other rebels were killed. He escaped, but only for one more day. His leg riddled with bullets, his gun knocked out of his hand, Ernesto Che Guevara surrendered. He said, "Do not shoot. I am Che Guevara and worth more to you alive than dead."
Oh.
He was taken to a one-room schoolhouse in the village. The US government wanted him alive to be interrogated, but Bolivian leaders decided that Guevara must be executed, fearing a public trial would only garner him more sympathy. Their official story was to be that he was killed in battle. Felix Rodriguez, a Cuban-American CIA operative, posing as a Bolivian military officer, informed Che that he was going to be executed. This is from something that Rodriguez said in a 60 Minutes interview years later, so take that what you will. He's going to make himself sound good.
Yeah.
I looked him straight in the face, and I just told him. He looked straight to me and said, "It's better this way. I should never have been captured alive." The two men shook hands. This is Rodriguez again. He embraced me. I embraced him. Of course you're going to say that.
He told me, "You're a genius.
You are a great guy.
And you should do whatever you want."
And but I hope this isn't too frank, but you have the biggest penis I've ever seen in my life, sir.
My God, look at that thing.
Anyway, that's what he said, I guess.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He also demanded...
pulled my pants back up and I was on my way.
He also demanded that I not omit this part of the story. I said, "Look, I'd be very embarrassed telling this to 60 minutes." He said, "Please tell them."
"I'm humble," I said. And he said, "The people need to know." And this is where you'll flash my phone number on the screen, right?
Flash, flash. Call now.
He said, "Don't, whatever you do, don't leave it out. But in the case, sorry, that's in the story. In the room here, please leave it out."
I cannot believe you.
You too. I cannot believe you. This is going to be fun for weeks.
Oh, this is the serious part of the story.
Oh.
Rodriguez left, ordering a soldier, Sergeant Terran, to shoot below the neck because that would fit the official story that Guevara had died in combat. A few minutes later, Sergeant Terran entered the hut to shoot him, whereupon Guevara reportedly stood up and spoke to Terran, and his last words were, "I know you've come to kill me. Shoot, coward. You are only going to kill a man." Awesome last words.
You're only going to kill a man.
No, I'm not a legend. Like,
I'm just a person.
He's the world-famous Che Guevara, like the revolutionary hero, but I'm just a normal guy. You're not going to destroy the revolution by killing me. I'm just a man.
I am just a man. Great line. Great line.
Great line.
I think that about myself as well. Despite what a lot of people say, I am just a man.
Who has said otherwise?
I know countless others.
Countless.
Countless. So few I cannot count them.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Terran fired, striking Guevara in the arms, legs and chest.
Oh.
Che was pronounced dead. He was 39 years old. First, they took photos of his body, then cut off his hands and put them in formaldehyde so they could use his fingerprints to prove that he was dead, so no one could deny that they'd killed the great Che Guevara.
Oh, my God.
He was buried in a mass grave, and his body was lost for decades.
Oh, they found it.
Until in 1995, a year-long search for his remains in Bolivia was ultimately successful. Che's body was found in a grave with six others. Basically, they found a man with both hands missing, and they... were like, "This could be him," and they matched the dental records, and it was him.
Oh, wow.
How many years later is this?
Nearly 30 years later.
So hands missing. Is this from skeletons? Basically
from
skeletons.
Yeah, so, you know.
Imagine. Do skeletons sort of hold together a bit? I would imagine a whole pile of bones. They just sort of still stick together. Jangly bones.
Well, I mean, if you think about it.
And I will.
It's not like they're not buried in coffins. They're just put into a pit in the ground and then buried over. So there's no room for the bones to move. They sort of stay still
in the dirt
for 30 years. Yeah. Like how they find fossils and stuff. Oh. Che's body was found in a grave with six others, as I said, and they were all laid to rest with military honors in a specially built mausoleum in the Cuban city of Santa Clara.
That's amazing that they found him.
I know. It's crazy.
30 years later. Wow.
Che had secretly visited Cuba in 1965 to see his second wife and wrote a letter to be given to his five children upon his death. It ends with, "Above all, always be capable of feeling deeply any injustice committed against anyone, anywhere in the world. This is the most beautiful quality in a revolutionary."
Yeah, I think it's hard to, like from the story you've told, it's hard to think of him too negatively. Did you go through... sources that were more negative than others, or?
Yeah, so it is very one side versus the other. So the legacy of Che Guevara is complicated and controversial, to say the least, right here. He is praised by many, including Nelson Mandela, who said he is, quote, "an inspiration for every human being who loves freedom." Others, however, see him as a fanatical murderer and a callous executioner, Their biggest problem is when he executed those people in that prison.
Yes.
Often without a proper trial.
Yeah, that's
it could be up to 500 people executed
his order. That's no good.
Mm.
Now, he remains a national hero in Cuba, where his image can be seen all over the place, including on a 3-peso banknote. I drove past a football stadium, and there's just a big image of Che Guevara above that. There's a giant decal in Revolution Square in Havana of his face. He's in street art everywhere, and school children still apparently begin each morning by pledging, "We will be like Che."
Oh, wow.
But it should be noted that in Cuba, it was only April this year, that 2018, that the country received its first non-Castro president in 40 years. And the new president, Miguel Díaz-Canel, was Raúl Castro's deputy before he took over. So, of course, they love Che because they're still in power 40 years later with no elections or anything. And he's part of their myth.
Yeah.
So it serves them well to praise Che.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so there's a lot. Lots of taking there. I just wanted to finish off by talking about the most iconic image of Che, probably the one that you imagine every time I see his name.
Is he wearing a beret?
So he's wearing a beret and he's staring off into the distance. Mm-hmm. It's very iconic.
Yep.
And it's seen on all sorts of merchandise. You mentioned the t-shirts before, which is very ironic.
Yeah.
Because he's so anti-capitalist. the Maryland Institute College of Art called the picture a symbol of the 20th century and the world's most famous photograph. And I don't know if this is just my internet, but when I googled world's most famous photograph, he came up as number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Just on your internet?
Do you reckon it's...
Or just on my search settings. But because I have to spend a whole week...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let me Google it now. World's...
What about most... Type in most famous photo. That's what I typed in.
Most
famous photo. Famous type that phrase in.
Just most famous photo.
Go. Oh, yeah.
Che comes up there.
He's up there.
Most famous photo.
Isn't that crazy?
But that is because...
But so is a photo by Sally Mann, a photographer I studied in Year 11 photography.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think potentially part of that is because it's captioned the most famous photograph. Because this one's come up a lot. That's a very famous...
Oh, the Afghani girl with the eyes.
Yeah.
Beautiful eyes, yeah. So, yes, it's a very famous photo. Mm. I just wanted to quickly talk about it. It was captured on March 5th, 1960 in Havana in Cuba by a local fashion photographer, Alberto Corda. The image is called Guerrillero Heroico, which I thought you would like, Matt.
I love it.
You love gorillas?
I love gorillas, no doubt about that. And I love that second word. Can you say it again?
Heroico.
Oh, yeah, that's male.
Guerrillero Heroico. Che was 31 at the time it was taken.
Oh, okay, cool.
The photo of Che was not initially chosen for publication. So he was there to cover an event. There'd just been a large explosion in the Havana harbor and a lot of people had died. So a lot of famous people came together and Corda was just taking photos of the different people. And basically he took two shots, one that was portrait and one landscape, and then Che sort of moved out of position. But, you know, he really liked the photo, and he printed it, this is Corda, and put a copy and hung it on his own wall.
Oh.
Then 7 years later, a couple of months before Che's death, a man named Gian Giacomo Feltrinelli, what a name, knocked on Corda's door and asked him for a good photo of Che for a cultural think tank that was helping to export the ideology of the Cuban Revolution, requesting that he have a good picture of Che. Corda pointed to his studio wall where the picture was still hanging and said, "This is my best picture of Che." When Che died, just a few months later, Gian Giacomo began selling millions of copies of the image of Che as a poster. Within 6 months of Che's assassination, Gian Giacomo sold over 2 million posters bearing this image, giving no credit or money to Corda. So a bit of a dog act, but he did help make the image famous. Corda also expressed that he forgave him because through his actions, the image became internationally so recognized.
That's a great Giacomo way to be able to think about things.
Yeah.
A lot of people would have been bitter about that forever.
But I guess reality is it would never have got out of Cuba without him. So Gian Giacomo, as you're calling, Feltrinelli was mysteriously murdered not long afterwards. So whatevs.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, dear.
As a lifelong communist and supporter for the Cuban Revolution until his death, Alberto Corda claimed no payment for his picture when people started attributing it to him.
Right.
So he didn't want any money for it. even though it could have made him a wealthy man. The only time he used his copyright was in the year 2000 when Smirnoff used the picture of Che in a commercial. Korda did not want commercialization of the image in relation to products he believed Guevara would not support, especially alcohol. He sued Smirnoff. The final result was an out-of-court settlement for $50,000 to Korda, which to a Cuban person is a lot of money, but he donated it to the Cuban healthcare system, stating, if Che was still alive, he would have done the same.
Wow.
What a guy.
That's amazing.
He died a few years ago.
Ah. Huh. That's cool.
Isn't that crazy? It's just some guy that you don't know, and it's the one of the most famous photographs of all time. But that is my report on Che Guevara, a very divisive figure. Thank you. I still don't know how I feel about him.
Mm.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Amazing ideals, but then
a mass murderer.
Yeah, but then I also, can you... He believed that the only way to get change was via a violent coup. And
if you believed that, then okay.
That probably is the best way. But then for change, who knows?
Mm.
Violence for change.
And how do you think it ended up?
Well, then, I know, poor old the Cuban people. They've been had the same group of leaders for 4 decades.
That's insane. That's...
cut off from the world in many, many ways. Opened up a little bit more now.
Yeah, because I don't know heaps about that either, but it doesn't feel like... Obviously, the initial idea was not followed through.
No, because in some ways it is a communist society in that they all get a bit of food and a bit of water from the government and that they have their health care taken care of, but also they are still very, very poor as a whole.
Right.
So it's difficult to say.
Hmm. Mm. Well, you are an expert on this, so I imagine you'll make it seem easy.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll sum it up with these two words. Viva Revolution.
Matt, your favourite two words?
I love those words.
Love those words. But
second
yes,
only to free pints.
Yeah, pints has been
free pints.
Behind bars for too long. Get him out.
pints. No, that was great. A very interesting... I'm not entirely sure where I... sit, but a very interesting story.
I don't think I have the stomach to be a revolutionary.
God, no. I don't have the stomach for much, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't have the passion. I'm very lazy.
I imagine it depends. Sometimes it just it has to happen. You probably don't need to revolt right now because you live in the affluent east of...
That is true. But
an affluent country.
Che could have been a fairly wealthy doctor in Argentina if he'd wanted to.
True.
I think about, because I also think about that. I'm like, of course I don't want to revolt. Everything's good for me. But then Che saw other people suffer. See, that's why I do respect him, because he saw other people suffering and said, I want to do something about this.
And did.
But the way he often went about it can be seen as quite callous.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Oof.
Complex.
A very complex individual. But there you go. Maybe I've opened up some people's interests and maybe they'll get that dusty book off the shelf that they wanted at Quiznard a few years back and read it for themselves.
Do some more learning.
Yeah. All right.
Form an opinion.
I reckon I'll do that.
Mm.
One day.
Yeah. It's like every time we talk about a film, I'm like, I'm going to watch that, and I never do.
But I'm sure you'll find 50 books that say he's an absolute icon and 50 books that say he's an absolute murderer. So.
Right.
You'll have to read 100 books and then decide.
Ugh.
That's so many books.
But thank you for listening to the show, and thanks to everyone that suggests topics and stuff. You can do so by visiting our website, dogoonpod.com, and submit an idea. The idea of Che Guevara has been sitting there for a long, long time in the original hat.
Yes.
It was.
I've recently amalgamated the old and new hats.
Now one giant hat.
One giant hat. 10-gallon hat.
One giant 10-gallon.
Yee-hee! Pew, pew, pew.
Is that what you do when you wear the hat?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Me too.
Hey, if you're also on our website, why not check out our merchandise we've just started selling through Redbubble. You hit the tab shop and it will take you to the store where you can buy T-shirts, but also those same designs can be printed on hoodies, on pants, on mugs, on phone covers, all kinds of stuff. Man, I can't believe I'm saying this on the Che Guevara episode. Whoops.
Buy our stuff.
Che, Papa's got to make a living. Okay, all right. Check that out. And you can also support the show through Patreon. That's kind of a crowdfunding communist type thing. Patreon.com/dogoonpod if you want to support the show. Chuck in a buck. $5, $10 a month, and at various different levels, you can get rewards in exchange, including two bonus episodes every single month. Just those people here, a shout out, all kinds of stuff, bonus content, and we'd like to thank some people that support the show through Patreon right here, right now. What are you thinking? How are we going to thank these six legends?
Oh yeah,
Jess, we gave you that
shit.
That duty. Let's maybe we'll start thanking someone, Dave, and while Dave's saying the name, maybe
I have got an idea.
Spot. All right, great. What do you
You know how his nickname came from, like a salutation in a way.
Yeah.
Maybe we could change their first names to a greeting.
Okay. Oh, okay. I was thinking something similar.
Okay, what were you thinking?
Well, I mean,
he couldn't just let you have it, could he, Jess?
Never. Dave, what were you thinking?
Well, I think we can change their name to a salutation. Let's go with that.
What are you going to say? It's probably better.
No, I think we could actually be the same because you know how Che can mean a salutation, but it can also just mean bro, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Change their name to something like that as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what
okay,
I mean.
Okay, so we can mix it up a little.
Clearly what she meant, Dave.
No, perfect. Yeah, great.
Perfect, Matt. Do you hear that? Say it again.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All I heard was perfect, Matt.
Yep. Me too. I'll admit that. I would like to thank another perfect Matt.
Ooh.
All the way from St Kilda here in Victoria. A great supporter of this show, Matthew Webb.
Matthew Webb.
Hi, Matthew Webb. We know you in real life.
Yeah.
He does tours in Melbourne. If you're visiting Melbourne, you should go do his
tour. Like an educational walking tour.
Including, if you ask for it, I'm sure, great comedy spots around Melbourne. I think he might even include them anyway.
Yeah. Matt's great, and he's a fantastic artist, and we love you very much, Matt.
If you are actually in Melbourne and you are interested, we can hook you up with this tour. Just tweet us, and we will pass on Matt's details, something that we definitely recommend for any
100%.
International interstate people who want to learn a bit more about Melbourne. I've been on a few walking tours when I've been overseas, and they're
the best.
You cover so
much.
The
one in Berlin was one of the best things I've ever done.
Oh, I did one in Derry in Ireland, and it was amazing.
Love them. Love a walking tour.
Me too.
Love it.
I did one in Havana. I learned a bit about Che on it.
There you go.
There you go. So, Matthew Webb, what are we going to...
Wow. Mate.
Matey Webb.
Matey.
Imagine if you became an icon. The 100 most influential people of the 21st century, Matey Webb.
Hey, Matey. All right, Matey.
Friend Warnicky.
Doesn't Matey sort of makes mate a bit patronising, right? Matey.
Thanks, Matey.
What about Matey Mate?
Matey Mate, that's totally fine.
Matey Mate Webb.
Matey Mate Webb, love it.
And then people in Argentina will be like, isn't that just a name?
Shay Shay, Corvier.
Matey Mate.
Thank you, Matey Mate Webb. I would also like to thank, did you just say Derry?
I did just say Derry.
Because I'm thanking someone from Derry in Great Britain. I would like to thank Sean Lanigan.
Derry's in Northern Ireland, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Interesting.
Yes.
I wonder if
well, that's why it'd be GB, right?
Yeah. I just panicked.
I always panic when people are put on the spot. I just say yes and then think, oh my God.
No, it's in Ireland, I'm sure. So.
Oh, yeah. But it was in Northern Ireland.
Northern
yes.
Ireland.
Yeah. And I had the most amazing walking tour guide who was also, I think he used to be the postman. So everybody knew him. So he'd be walking along, they'd be like, hello, and he'd say hi to everyone.
That is so fucking cool.
You're doing a walking tour with a local celebrity.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It was awesome. All right, so how do we change that name?
Lanigan
Sean
is a great.
Lanigan.
I love Lanigan. Mark Lanigan's one of my fave musicians.
Well, we're not talking about Mark.
No, I'm just trying to think if I can work that in.
What about, because it can be used at the entrance like A or right.
Yep.
What about right on Lanigan?
Right on Lanigan.
Right on Lanigan.
Sounds like ride on, like a ride on mower.
Yeah, perfect.
Right on Lanigan.
That's what I said.
Let's have a ride on Lanigan.
Thanks
right
so
on.
Much from your support over in Derry. I can't believe that's
Derry,
awesome.
That's amazing. Can you do the two? Can you do a Dublin accent versus a Northern accent, Jess?
I can't do it, no. But there's a difference. Like, Jamoan is Northern.
Right.
It sounds almost a little bit more, I don't know, not Scottish. More, maybe, yeah. It's beautiful. I really like Northern Ireland.
I like Ireland in general.
It's great. But Northern's very cool, but I can't do it. Not, I don't think I can do a good Irish accent in general, to be honest, but anyway, give it a crack. So should I thank some people too?
That'd be great.
Okay, great. Well, I would like to thank from St. Petersburg in Florida.
Oh, not far from Cuba.
In the Florida Keys. Is that what the Florida Keys are in Florida?
Yeah.
Keys, is that just like islands?
It's just like it's like a set of keys.
The keys to the city.
Keys.
Right, cool.
Dave, I picked up your keys for a bit. Don't be mad at me.
Oh.
You mad?
I do not forgive, and I do not.
Well, I would like to thank, before I die, apparently, Brent Sanooks. Sanooks?
Sanooks. Oh, that is a sweet
Brent Sanooks surname.
Glad we're only changing the first name here.
No, because that is, if you mess with that, you should go to jail.
Can that be bro?
Bro Sanooks. Oh, my God.
That's cool.
So good.
Thanks, bro.
That just gave me a shiver.
In Florida.
Yeah. Bro Sanooks. And we're happy with Sanooks there? It's not going to be right, is it? It'll be Sunooks. Try to say it like an American would.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bro Sunooks.
But you got to say it like a Florida. Floridian.
Like Flo Rida.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's his song?
Oh, Matt.
He had a big one. He's a one-hit wonder, isn't he, Flo Rida? He's sort of kicking around.
Nah, he's probably one
didn't of... Didn't he? He did a version of You Spin Me Right Round. Baby Right Round. They reference that in the chorus, is that him?
Probably. I don't know.
Anyway, bro, thanks for your love your work. Love your work.
Bro,
and I'd also like to thank from Paisley and GB.
Paisley, oh.
Is that where you reckon that's where the pattern comes from?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Again, that's me panicking now. Oh, it's in the lowlands of Scotland.
I'd like to thank Ross Johnson Moynihan.
Oh. Moynihan?
Moynihan is great.
Moynihan.
What's a moiter?
are you going to change up Ross Johnson or just Ross?
Maybe just Ross.
Oh, you could have do the double.
Oh.
Bro pal Moynihan.
Because Ross, obviously, he'd get Ross the boss a lot. And people say, hey, boss.
Oh, that's great.
Boss Johnson Moynihan. Oh, my God.
Oh, Boss Johnson, BJ Moynihan, love it. Thanks very much, boss.
Boss, you're the boss.
That is good stuff.
Bruce Springsteen, one of my favourite musicians.
Incredible.
Thanks so much. Oh, man, these names are so good.
Very good.
It feels like we're making a lot of them worse.
Oh, definitely. But I think
the other
week
we really... all our listeners have such good names. Ross Johnson Moynihan, Brent Sanooks. What else? Who else do we have? Matthew Webb. Cheyenne Lanigan. Am I saying that right?
I thought it was Sean.
Sean, that's right. I'd love to thank, if I may, from Newcastle in England, Henry Smith. Henry Smith. Henry Smith.
Hmm, that's a good name.
I like Henry a lot.
Hmm, anything coming to mind?
Bonjour, Smith.
Because you're thinking Henri?
I guess so.
Yeah, I love it. Yes, bonjour, Smith. So bonjour. Good. Bonjour, Smith.
Yes. Bonjour, Smith.
I prefer to pause and then put a very Australian accent on Smith. Bonjour, Smith. That makes me happy. But hey, whatever works for you.
Have you guys ever had the Newcastle Brown Ale from Newcastle?
No. Is that... Is this a euphemism? What's going on here?
Is that a sex move?
The rusty trombone. No, it's...
good stuff?
No, it's one of the first beers, international beers I would have ever had. It's really, really not. I haven't had it in a long time, but I used to love it. You don't see it around as much as you used to, but a delicious beer. And I would also love to thank...
Where did that come from and what...
He's
from Newcastle.
Henry right. Smith's from Newcastle.
I was so confused. I'm like, all right, man.
But just a question, have you ever tried Chinese right. fried rice? Because it is quite good.
Sorry.
And I'd also love to thank from San Antonio in Texas,
Spurs country,
Colin with a K, Colin Spenrath.
Ooh.
Oh, Spenrath. Bucko.
Bucko Spenrath.
Bucko Spenrath.
Oh, that is really good. That's the first one I can get behind.
My God, you nailed that.
Do you think that maybe this could be the start of a new New name.
Yeah, I reckon Colin might start going around as Bucko.
He demands people call him Bucko.
He sends out he puts it on Facebook. He's like, "Hi everyone, I just want to address you all and let you know that I'm now changing my name to Bucko." Well, I remember a girl in primary school did that. We all called her Katie, and then one day she came into school and she was like, "I'd really prefer it if you referred to me as Catherine." And then this is in grade one.
Oh, I was about to say, what age is this?
Yeah, because that sounds fine. You should be allowed to be called by your name, but. Yeah, grade one is bold.
It's so funny.
And guess what? What happened?
We then called her Katie in this primary in the playground, and she chased us around angrily. It was very fun.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, I hope you're well, Katie.
Brutal. I love
it. Hope you're well, Catherine.
I love that story of bullying in early primary school.
Thank you.
It says a lot about Jess and who, the person she really is deep down.
You're a real bucko.
A big old bully.
So thanks to all the legends that support us at Patreon. Makes a big difference to our lives, and you get some cool stuff, so maybe it makes a difference to your
And life. You know, we're over 70% to our goal to tour America now?
It's really gone up a lot this year. It's feeling like that maybe next year could be the year.
It really does feel like it's possible, which is
we could come wild. To places like San Antonio. Probably not specifically there, but somewhere in Texas.
Yeah.
If we go to the USA, we have to go. For some sort of sports game, I've decided that.
Fuck yes.
If I'm using the correct terminology.
Some sort of sports game.
There's got the list of things and places we've got to see and do is going to be huge.
I mean, it might be a 9-month tour, like Che. driving around on
Gary's high up on the list.
We'll be going to Gary.
Buckeye State University is probably in Ohio, is probably something we've got to get to.
I've always wanted to see Mount Rushmore.
Low on the list, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's really
no pubs around there. Matt's not interested.
No, yeah, that'd be great. I wouldn't even know where that is. Is that in the Grand Canyon?
No, I think it's in South Dakota.
Isn't that in the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, it's in South Dakota, and I don't know how many South Dakota
sisters
we have.
New York, Disneyland, and the rest is the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it's all in the canyon.
That's my understanding.
I think part...
It's in the canyon.
I think part of New York's in the canyon.
Surely.
Tip it in the hole.
Manhattan's up and Staten Island's in the Grand Canyon.
Is it in the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Come on, Dave. Dude.
Haven't you ever seen that famous statue they've got of Liberty?
In the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, it's in the canyon.
Oh, I feel like a fool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like one, man. I'm fucking ooh.
All right, we got to go now.
Yeah.
I've got to go learn about geography, apparently. I've got to look up this Grand Canyon. It sounds grand.
It
tell
is
you what.
Big.
It is a big canyon. All right, we got to go. Thanks again for listening to the show. We'll be back next week with another topic from the hat. Keep the suggestions coming. But until then, I will say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.